We're all familiar with the story of Megillat Rut. There's one question that really is a very key question in the story. But when you read the story and you start looking at the Divrei Chazal, it's not very clear what the answer to that question is. It's a very straightforward question. Ruth was an Isha Moabiyah. She was a Moabite woman. She joins Am Yisrael. She's one of the most famous converts to Am Yisrael. When exactly was Ruth Mitgayer? When did she convert? So there are two possibilities. At least that's what it seems. That Ruth converted right before she married Mahlon. Mahlon and Chilion come together with their father, and they arrive with Elimelech and Naomi, their parents, and they come to Moab. They married Moabite women, meaning women who were Moabites, but they converted. And Mahlon Bechilya married converts, Jewish women, and that's when the conversion took place. Seems logical. You don't want to attribute too many averus to Mahlon and Bechilya. But then the story later on makes no sense. Because if they were already converted, if the Mahlon Bechilyon died, why would Naomi come along and try to convince them to stay in Moab, to remain behind? Naomi comes along and she says to them, Shovna binosai, lama telachni mi, goodbye, return, why do you want to come with me? Right. Go back to your families, go back to Moab. But if they had already converted, how could she be encouraging them to return to Moab? There's nobody else in Moab, there's no Jews in Moab, there's no Am Yisrael in Moab. How could she convert? How could she convince them, or try to convince them to return? So there's an alternative. The alternative is that Mahlon Bechilyon married, as the Pasuk says, Nashim Moabiyot, says that they hadn't converted. This was one an additional aveir on their part. And they married non-Jewish women. And therefore, Naomi comes along and tries to convince Ruth and Orpah, why are you coming with me? You don't have to come with me. You can go back to mommy, go back to daddy, go back to your homes. Makes sense. After all, they're not Jewish. They never converted. Aye. So when does Ruth convert? It's at this point she converts. When Naomi's trying to convince them to go back, and finally Ruth and Orpah turns around, gives her mother-in-law a kiss, and leaves. But Ruth says, Al tifki bi lazveich, ki al ashel techiyer lech, v'asher talini alin amech ami ve'lokayach alokai. And the Gemara in Yevamos actually learns out from here some of the halachos of Gerut. When Ruth comes along and says, Amech, Ami, Elokei, Chalokai, that's when she converts. Makes a lot of sense. Except for one key point. If Ruth converts only now, after Mahlon died, then technically she was never married to Mahlon. Because the halacha is that if a Jew marries a non-Jew, the kiddushin aren't tofsin. There is no kiddushin. They may have been living together, but they were never really married. But the whole story afterwards is all connected to the fact that Ruth is called Eishes Mahlon, that there's this pseudo-yibum that needs to take place, that she's connected to the family, that there's a goel because Ruth is part of the family and somebody has to marry her because she was married to Mahlon. If she only converted after Mahlon died, halachically she was never married to Mahlon. So what's the whole story with Boaz and the goel and the Sada? It only makes sense if halachically she was married to Machlo. But if she only converted later on, she couldn't have been married to Machlo. So we're now stuck. It doesn't make sense to say that she converted when she married Machlo, because then why is Naomi trying to convince her to stay in Moab? And it doesn't make sense to say that she converted only after Machlo died, because why then would there have to be the pseudo Yibum and the Zgola with the Sada and everything else that takes place later on in the story? So how do you stop with that? So one approach to solve this problem is based on the Rambam. He talks about when he talks about Nerus. The Rambam doesn't refer to this case specifically, but there's an idea that he mentioned. Rus converted, Rus and Orpa converted before they married Machlon and Bechilyo. It was never clear whether that conversion was sincere or not. It wasn't known. Could very well be that they only converted to nice Jewish guys, maybe had some money, maybe they were cute looking guys, maybe they were no good Moabite guys. We don't really know how sincere Ruth and Orpah were when they converted to marry Machlon and Bechilyo. And it takes a number of years later, Machlon and Bechilyo die. And now, Ruth and Orpah are widows. And Naomi comes along and says to them, "Why are you schlepping back with me? Go." And now time will tell. If they turn around and they say, "You know what, you're right, we're going back to Moab. Except tell us about their conversion from the very beginning." It wasn't sincere. And if it wasn't sincere, and it wasn't meant to, and you didn't really mean it, then retroactively they were never really Jewish, in which case they can really return to Moab. On the other hand, if after their husbands had died, they come along and they say, no, we want to be part of it, we want to join you, we want to go with you, despite the fact that we're going to live a life of poverty and everything else, then that shows retroactively that the conversion all along was valid. So what really was the answer? That's the split between Orpah and Ruth. Orpah kisses her mother and says goodbye. And we say, you know what? Orpah's conversion retroactively was never really a conversion. She never really meant it. She goes back to Moab. She has a right to go back to Moab. She's not Jewish. Ruth, on the other hand, says, "Al tifki bi lozvech, I'm not leaving you. Vashel tuchi alech, vashel talim yalin, amei chami, velokai achorokai, vashel tamus yamus, vashel mekaver." And when she says that, Naomi says, "Vateir ki misametus, yilo lechets ito, avatechta lo daber ilo." Naomi stops trying to convince her to return. Because Naomi says to herself, I see she really must have meant the conversion all along. If after her husband died and we're living a life of poverty and there's nothing for her to look forward to, she still wants to come back and say, "Amei chamiv alokai chalokai," then the conversion all along must have been sincere. And therefore I'm going to stop trying to convince her she's really Jewish. She's been Jewish all along. She really was married to Machlo. And the whole story of the Gula later on makes sense. This concept of sofo mochiach al tchilaso, that what a person does later on tells us a lot about what has happened up until then. That retroactively we can figure out what a person was thinking. It can apply in many different areas. It's not only applicable to the story of Ruth. Pasuk says, "Luchu vanim shimu li yiras Hashem alamedcha." Why does it say "Luchu vanim"? Why does it say "Go, my son"? Why doesn't it say "Bo vanim"? Come and let me teach you. Explain a pidrush that when people come and I'll teach you yiras Hashem. That's easy. When people join the crowd and are all together, so people tend to conform and they do what everybody else is doing. If you want to know whether you've been successful, and that depends on the chuvanim, That depends when people get up and leave the group and each goes on their own way and forges their own path. And then you take a look and start seeing when the person leaves, are they really taking with them the values that they've had, or are they leaving them behind? And here's a situation where you see so mochiach al tchilaso. What happens at the end is really a reflection of what's been going on all along. This is the last regular Sunday night seder. And pretty soon afterwards, a short while, sooner than we'd like to, it's going to be a time of l'chuvanim, or l'chuvanot. And the question is, the values, the principles, so many things that have been taught by so many different people during this entire year, are you going to take them with you? Or are you going to leave them behind together with your half-used bottle of shampoo if you don't bother packing in your suitcase? I don't do much interviewing for MMO. I do a little bit. One of the questions I sometimes ask, a student is sitting there, and I'll say to her, okay, tell me the difference between Sarah Goldberg of September 2008 and Sarah Goldberg of June 2009. What do you see the difference? This is, of course, taking place before September 2008. What difference do you see in Sarah Goldberg? Maybe you should ask yourselves that question. What differences do you see in yourself between September 2008 and almost June 2009? Did you grow? Or did you just conform? Time will tell. We did a lot of chesed this year. Because you were required to do chesed, because it was on your schedule, because Mrs. Katz checked up on you. Yeah. But will you continue to do chesed? Do you see the value in doing it? Even when you don't get credit for it? Even when no one's checking up on you? Have you developed a relationship to Eretz Yisrael? To Am Yisrael? To Torah Yisrael? But a real relationship? Will you take that relationship back with you? What's your speech like? Has it changed? Has it improved? Do you really, really want to speak less Lashon Hara? And if necessary, clean up your speech a little bit. Continue to be careful about saying brachos, about trying to daven with kavana, about speaking a little bit more respectfully to our parents, especially when we disagree with them, especially when we feel they don't understand us. Are you a little more sensitive, or maybe a lot more sensitive, not only to the Yisuri Melach of Shabbos, but to the Kedusha of Shabbos? Do we sense the Kedusha of Shabbos? Do we want to feel it? You know, the Lametes Melachos and everything else that's involved in Shabbos, just an obstacle course that we have to sort of maneuver our way through. But they raise us to a higher level. I have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. about it for a moment. For the last 9 months or so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has invited you in to his palace, to his home. Come here, Tayyip Yisrael. Come into my land. Come into my city, Yerushalayim. Come into my house, the Beis Medrash. He's welcomed you with open hands. And now it's getting time to leave. Will you reciprocate? Will you invite him into your home? There's a story I told before, at least I think I did, about Rav Nachum Mendel of Kotsk, when he was very young, and he went to visit the Simcha Bunyan from Pshischa. And the Kotsk then was a very young child. And the Simcha Bunyan had heard that the Kotsk was a very precocious child. So he asks the little Menachem Mendel, he says to him, where will you find the Kaddish Baruch Hu? So, the kid points to Shemayim. So the Rebbe wasn't satisfied. Where will you find the Kaddish Baruch Hu? So he says, but I'm a local Eretz Kivozo. He still wasn't satisfied. Where will you find it? I don't know if you started singing like Uncle Moshe, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Finally, the Simcha Bunyan said to him, you know where you'll find a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the Yungale? You'll find a Kadosh Baruch Hu wherever you let him in. If you let him in, he'll come. And if you shut the door in his face, he won't break it down. We leave. We invite a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be part of our lives, to share our lives, to have him share our lives, or to turn around, say thank you very much, it was a pleasure staying in your house, but now I have to get on with life. So for Mochiach, Al Kribasa. Chuvamim Shimuli. I would change it, and I would say l'chu banot. I'd even have the audacity to say l'chu banotai. But I don't have enough nerve to tell you shimuli. What am I going to tell you? Leave you with something that I have to say. So much chutzpah I don't have. There was a person who once lived, who was much, much wiser than I am. In fact, he was smarter than anybody else. He was Hachocha Mikol Adam. And his name was Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech wrote three Svarim. He wrote Shir HaShirim when he was young. And he wrote Mishlei when he was in his middle age. And at the end of his life, he wrote Kohelet. And Kohelet is his parting wisdom to us. And then we get to the end of Kohelet. So what are the foremost, the final words that Shlomo HaMelech tells us? And maybe with that, these are the parting words we should all leave with. Sof davar hakol nishma et ha'alukim yira et mitzvotav shemor ki zeh Call the other.